Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get that. Gotta get that.
Welcome back to Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton in studio with Scott Eckersley co-hosting with me. We're running the board and bumping it up a little bit with some Black Eyed Peas. I like that. Tom Crawford is now en route to Albion. We'll also be talking with Jack Ebling right around 9:15. He'll be with us the rest of the show. He's on his way to Iowa City, so he'll be able to give us a little report of what's going on at Kinnick Stadium. Don't forget, we've also got a pre-taped interview that you'll love to hear from legendary coach Ara Parsegian from Notre Dame, head coach of that game of the century with Michigan State. And also, George Balaja is going to be on around 9:35, so stick around for that. Right now, we're going to go to the phones, 393-3700. We got Mark from Lansing. Mark, what's up, man?
You guys there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
So Tom's on the road. Me and my road dog. We on our way to Penn State College.
That a boy.
I heard Tom was leaving early. I thought he might be heading that direction, but I should have known. But
he doesn't want to be at Penn State today.
He doesn't want to hit the road.
So what's up, man?
I heard him say earlier talking about the Penn State fans being pretty cordial. Man, that our experience the last time we went to a night game was just opposite.
Really? When I went there, and I went there for a Central Michigan game, so they probably didn't care, but everybody I met when I was at the game was actually really cool and really nice, and the one thing they always were asking is, what exactly is a Chippewa? But overall, I think because we weren't a threat, I think they were totally cool with us. But
well, I think we're in the midst of beating them like 7 or 8 years in a row.
Oh, okay, yep. And, so it was pretty bitter at that point.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah.
Chris Rucker, what's your take?
My take, if you want, honestly, here's the deal.
Well, yeah, nothing but honest.
Here's the deal. If you get a DUI or any sort of drunk driving charge when you have nothing else on your record, in my opinion, you should be suspended for the rest of the season right then and there. If you are on parole for already getting in trouble and then you get a drunken driving charge, you're off the team automatically.
You said some absolute standards.
See, here's the thing. Okay, college in general is about life lessons. And what kind of life lesson are we teaching college football players who may not even be able to play professionally if you're telling them, okay, zero tolerance unless we're in run for a national championship. And then you know what? Then we'll bring you back, even though you've already broken the rules, you've already embarrassed me once, and now we're bringing you back. Because here's the thing. Chris L. Rucker now thinks he can get away with whatever he wants at this point.
You believe that?
I think so.
Well, let me ask you this, because I heard this conversation on another station yesterday, and, well, Drew Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have Drew Sharp on today, are you?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind anyway. Go for it. Whatever.
Well, his take was that Antonio did this because he wanted to win football games.
Okay.
As opposed to maybe, you know, trying to nurture the kid and doing it in the best interest of the kid, blah, blah, blah. But he's a notorious cynic.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not surprising that he's going to take that position.
Absolutely.
So do you think that when he first said, when Coach Antonio first said zero tolerance means that if you're given a second chance and you mess up, you're gone,
mm-hmm.
do you think he misspoke then, or do you think that between that time and now, he has decided to maybe give in a little bit because he's interested in winning football games. I really don't know where to lean on that. But
well, see, here's the thing: the zero tolerance seemed to happen for Glenn Winston last year, and now all of a sudden, I said the zero tolerance seemed to be a factor. And thanks for the call, Mark. The zero tolerance seemed to be fine for Glenn Winston. He didn't get away with it. But Chris L. Rucker seems to be above the law at this point. And it's just the bottom line is you're at Michigan State. There are taxis everywhere. There are plenty of ways to get home. You're already in trouble for getting into a fight the year before. What are you doing drinking and driving? To me, it shows that he shows no remorse, that he hasn't learned a thing. And any college athlete, it is a privilege to play college football. It's a privilege. So any college athlete who drinks and drives, if it's their first offense, at the very least needs to be suspended for the entire year so they can show that they can handle being a college student, let alone being a college athlete. If they can show for an entire year that they can be a responsible college student, then I would let them back on the football team. And then if they mess up again, they clearly need to learn a life lesson. And yes, it's going to be detrimental at that point. But the bottom line is, they need to learn that life lesson. The quote that Mark D'Antonio gave earlier yesterday that came from the Detroit News, he says, the poor decision he made needs for serious consequences, which he has now met and resolved from a team and legal perspective. To me, 8 days in jail and then being reinstated to the team automatically the day before the biggest football game in MSU since 1966, that's not correct. That's not a consequence to me. That's just saying you're in trouble, but because we need to win, we need you. Scott, you wanted to add something?
So where do you stand on Corey Lucius? This is kind of lost in everything. He was suspended for 1 to 4 games, anywhere up to 4, really, with missing at least one regular season game. For the same charge, he didn't break probation. This was his first offense.
Yeah.
OWI.
Suspended for the year. Suspended for the year. That's non-negotiable. And I'm not just saying that because I'm not a Spartan. If I was Central Michigan's coach and Dan Lefevre had gotten in trouble for drunk driving, suspended for the year. Prove to me that you can be an adult. Prove to me that you can be responsible, and I will let you back on the team next year and try and earn your starting spot back. But it doesn't matter who it is. You are risking not only your life, but everybody else on the road and everybody else who seems to be walking around Michigan State's campus. You've ever been around Michigan State's campus at night around the bar area and stuff? There are drunk people walking around, and they cross the street, and they do all sorts of silly stuff. So it should be sober people on the road to make sure people aren't getting hit by cars and things of that nature. It just absolutely drives me nuts that athletes can get away with this kind of thing. If this was a regular student, would they be getting away with it? No, they would have gotten kicked out of school. They'd probably be in jail for a year or something like that. But because it's an athlete, it's totally fine. There needs to be a life lesson somewhere. We have Tom back now. Tom, what do you think about the issue?
Dave, I heard your dialogue, and I couldn't agree with you more. I'm really puzzled by the fact that when you're part of the probation, we wasn't supposed to even consume alcohol.
Zero tolerance. What is the meaning of zero tolerance?
And then Lisa Byington asked legitimate questions at that presser on Tuesday, and D'Antonio, basically snaps back at her. I couldn't believe that. I'm always down on Mark D'Antonio just from a rival standpoint, and most of it's tongue in cheek, and it goes back to the Mike Hart and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think he's done an outstanding job with Michigan State. But this disciplinary thing with Chris L. Rucker is really set him back a few notches.
Well, the disciplinary thing in general with D'Antonio has been sort of a problem. I agree with you. Recruiting is up, talent is up, Michigan State football is up. But from a standpoint of well-behaved college football players, they have definitely taken a step back. Now, Michigan State has, over the last decade or two decades, has not been the cleanest program. You've had problems with players. But it seems that it has escalated in the last couple of years. And by instituting a zero tolerance policy, and then turning around and taking away that zero tolerance policy for that one player, now he has to do that for every other college football player on his team.
And I know this stuff happens. I mean, the Kevin Grady situation with Michigan drunk driving, I have a hard time with.
Yeah.
Because of the potential disaster that comes from it, the trauma that comes from it. It's a selfish situation, and you're taking other people. You can potentially take other people down with you for your misjudgment. I have a really hard time with that, and it really hits a sensitive chord. So he should not be playing this year, flat out. And by playing him, and then saying, "Yeah, it's up to him to make the decision." That comment this week, I'm not too clear on that, what he meant by that, but I'm really surprised. Yet at the same time, he's got a lot of other good kids on that team.
I'm not trying to lump everybody in. I'm not saying the whole program is completely dirty. We're not talking Florida or North Carolina here. We're not talking that type of thing. And I don't think you should ruin a person's life over this kind of thing. But at the same time, you've got to teach them lessons. That's the point of college. I went into a job interview one time, and the guy that interviewed me said, "I don't care about your college GPA. What I want to know is, did you graduate college?" Because the bottom line is, college is more than just an academic education. It's a life education. And if
Absolutely.
You're not taught in college that when you drink and drive or when you violate your probation that you're going to get in trouble, that's a lesson that you're setting a precedence for the rest of that person's life.
Right, right. It's going to be, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, he's got some decent players in the secondary who can step up. And I just think you're going to win in the long run as a program if you don't, you know, when you say zero tolerance, mean it and follow through with it. Otherwise, you're going
to
lose credibility with the fans and the alumni and obviously with the players. Because I know a lot of Michigan State people who bleed green and white who are very upset about this situation. They don't think it's right.
Yeah, and I was going to say, to me, it really has nothing to do with the depth. It has everything to do with what's going on with that person.
You're right.
Just look at the bowl last year. I was totally fine with all those suspensions. Tom, we got to get out of here. We appreciate your time. Good luck in Albany,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, okay. Have fun, Dave, and we'll see you next Saturday.
All right, we're coming up. We got an interview with Ara Parseghian, the great Notre Dame coach. This is Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WYLS.